Hi, Peyton.
Hi.
Hi, we're good to go. By the way, we can go audio only for this, so feel free to hit that video camera icon, bottom middle of the screen.
Perfect.
All right, great. So let's start with your year of graduation, including if you finished up spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
I graduated in May of 2020. In music business marketing.
Cool. And what was your principal instrument?
Voice.
Cool. All right. We will get to your history later.
Okay.
But for now, oh, we're getting some echo. All right. We should be fine. But for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
So my current job is director of social and content at a startup, a vitamin startup called Lemmy. And right now I have a lot of duties because we're a very small team. I make social content calendars for Instagram and TikTok. I edit all of our content for paid media in FeedPost. Our founder shareables. I kind of work with companies and create assets for all of our collaborations that we do with our products. Like we did a Chacha Matcha collab with one of our vitamins, Lemmy Matcha. I manage and edit all SMS, email, Instagram, and TikTok copy. And I create briefs for our design team on education pieces, photo shoot print pieces, sale assets, and launch cadences. I manage all social engagement with our audience and creator relationships for paid media and organic media. And I create mailer ideas and outline briefs for our developers to design launch mailers. I outline briefs for brand photo shoots. I manage set production and capture behind the scenes during on-set days. I create shot lists for all of our product photo shoots, and I create briefs for merch and accessory development.
Wow, that's a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
I have to ask this later, but how many hours a week do you work?
Yeah. You know, it really depends on the week, because one thing I do love about what I do is how different every day is. You think you have a schedule in your calendar and you think that's what you're going to do, but it really changes by the hour. But because we're such a small team, it's very all hands on deck type of feel. But I would say if I were to calculate it, it would probably be around like 65, 70 hours.
Wow. Okay. And you've said a couple times a small team. Obviously, there's the manufacturing end for the vitamins, but if you look at, let's say, the managerial, administrative, you know, sales, marketing end, about how many people are there?
When I first got here, there were 5 people, and now I think there's around 12, and I would say, like, on the ops, like, operations side, there's 4. There's 4 main people, and on like the marketing and brand side, there's 3, and then we have like a brand team that's like 5.
And I'm sorry, would you be on the brand team or the marketing team?
Marketing, I kind of included them in both. So
okay.
It's an extension of the brand team, but I would say like that core brand team of 3 would be the one that I'm in, and marketing kind of extends outward to our like influencer manager and our marketing coordinator.
Got it. And you said Lemmy is a vitamin startup?
Yes, it's a vitamin brand that launched in September of 2022.
Fairly new. Can I ask what, without the full sales pitch, is there anything that really distinguishes Lemmy? Or, I mean, vitamins existed long before Lemmy. Is there kind of like a marketing image that they're going for? Or is it like, are they like blending vitamins that go well together? What's the...
Yeah.
You know what I mean, what's the hook, as it were?
Yeah, 100%. So they're vegan, non-GMO. They're gummies, like gummy vitamins. And then we also recently launched into the format of capsules as well. But our brand is celebrity founded by Kourtney Kardashian Barker.
Gotcha. Oh, vegan chewables. That sounds good.
Yeah, they're really great. Like, we have a lot of different products like that gear towards different benefits, like just depending on what you're looking for. But we've ventured into a lot of categories.
I understand. And by the way, do you end up having much contact with the founder? Or
I do, yeah. So because I do all the content for our Instagram and TikTok, like, we kind of have these set content days that we'll go over to her house and we'll kind of film content that should last us out to 6 or 7 weeks until we can see her next. But we have to get all of our like shot lists approved by her because she's our creative director. So she kind of oversees all the things that we do in terms of like in-feed posts, and she sees like all the shot lists that we do for our for our product photo shoots. Like, we run them all through her first. So we're on Zoom probably like once or twice a month with her, and she's very involved, like very hands-on.
Gotcha. Makes sense. You did list off lots of things you do. Could you take us through a typical day, or, you know, yesterday if you wish, like, what were you doing hour by hour?
Yeah. Totally. So a typical Monday is kind of wake up around 6 a.m. because the rest of the team is on East Coast and I live in California. Okay. So I do have to work East Coast hours, but I've actually grown to love it. It sounds crazy, but it's nice because you can kind of tell when the team is gearing off line around 2 or 3 p.m. But in general, like, a Monday we'll start off with like a social team call, which is just like kind of like that core brand team, and then an hour after that we'll go into the larger just like weekly check-in with everyone who works at the company, and we'll kind of run through priorities for the week and what's happening on everyone's end. And I'll kind of work on all the copy for everything that we're posting the next week, so that it's all like set up, because we have a burner account that we post all of our stuff on first for like overhead approval. So we'll kind of do that the week before everything goes live. And right now we have like a collaboration coming in February and just a few things that we're kind of finishing the cadence for like with the other company that we're working with. Sure. But it's really different every day.
Gotcha. No, totally cool. And you did say you liked the variety, because indeed, like, your job is one of the criteria you have to hit for these interviews. Is there anything else you like about your job besides the variety?
I would say the people that I work with. In general, I have never had a job where I felt so close with the people I work with. Like, everyone is so encouraging. They want you to succeed, and they want you to, like, they want to see you grow in your role, and they want to see you try different things, because it is such a new company, and like, we do operate heavily as a startup, and it's just such an encouraging environment, and they really do want to hear what you think, and they want your opinion, and they want to know, like, does this make sense to you? Because realistically, like, I am part of the target audience. So it's nice to kind of be, you know, brand facing, but also, actually, no, I'm not brand facing, but I'm brand facing consumer, and like, just thinking about the way that I would see it as an outsider. They care about what you think, and they definitely want everyone to do as well as they can. But I just think the people that I work with are above and beyond, and I genuinely like couldn't be more thankful. They are the best people, truly. So, yeah, I feel like I love that, and I love the flexibility that I have. Like, I do work from home, unless it's like an on-set day or we're meeting our founder in person or there's like a photo shoot in New York or something. But for the most part, the majority of the time, I work from home.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Wait, you said photo shoot in New York, so do you sometimes travel across the country?
Yes. So all of our product photo shoots are in New York typically. So I'll fly out there for the 2 days that the photo shoot are, and I'll kind of like stay the weekend if I can.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And by the way, I don't ask how much people are paid, but I do ask, curious about the structure. Are you regular salaried position then?
Yes. Yes. So I've been like regular salary position since I first started. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I kind of figured with all those hours, you might not be out enough.
Yeah, that would be, it would rack up.
All right, cool. So let's take it back to 2020, spring. Although if you feel this story is a logical earlier starting point, we can pull it back further than 2020. But
yeah.
If not, sort of put us in your headspace as things are wrapping up at Berkeley. I mean, I'm guessing you're not thinking marketing vitamins. Could be wrong.
Right.
But no, like, you know, tell us sort of where you were at as things are finishing up, and then we'll take one step at a time from there to where you are now, both in terms of what you were doing for work, but also in terms of like where you were at mentally in terms of your career.
Yeah. So would you like me to run you through like all up until now? Are you saying just in 2020?
All up until now, not at the same level of detail that you went into your current job, but, you know.
Okay, totally. Yeah, so I actually graduated a year early. I figured out a way to, I took more classes, like more Berkeley classes online that were a part of the required classes, and I did some summer classes. And truthfully, I didn't do it on purpose. It was, I had looked at the kind of that like graduation sheet that they give you where it's like, here, this is what you need to complete. So like when you graduate, this is what's required. And this is kind of like the steps in which you have to take these classes. And I just kind of doubled up. And at one point, I was in, like, I think 12 classes at once.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's actually insane. Like, when I think about it, I'm like, I don't even know how I had time to breathe. But I worked as an RA my last year of Berkeley. And that first semester of, like, technically my junior year, I went into the office, the counselor's office, and they were like, oh, have you signed up for graduation? And I didn't know. I was like, no, why would I sign up for graduation? I'm a junior. And they were like, well, no, you're actually like, you're not even going to have enough classes to take next semester. And I was like, oh, okay. So then my head plan just kind of got flipped on its head a little bit because I was now a senior. And at the time I was an RA and I was working as like a student freelance photographer. And then I was also doing, I had a part-time like sales job on Newberry Street. So there weren't a lot of things that I wasn't involved in. It's actually music that I don't think I put enough time into, but I was definitely exhausted everywhere else. But once I graduated, I moved home to Atlanta because we graduated on Zoom.
Right.
And I spent a year as an executive, like personal assistant, and also like a marketing specialist at Keller Williams, which is like a real estate partnership.
Yeah. Yeah. Large. Can I ask how you got that job?
Yeah. So the executive personal assistant, I had put my resume up actually on Facebook. And a family saw it, and she was she's an OBGYN and the husband is a cardiologist, and they really needed someone who was going to be their right-hand person. And I really wanted a job that I could like not be stuck in the house for. And that was something that they needed, like a person there, because they were like frontline workers. So it's not like they had to stay inside, like they had to go. So I worked there for about a year until I moved. And then I moved out to LA Labor Day of 2021 with no job.
You just wanted to go to LA?
Yeah, I just kind of, you know, since I was like 9 or 10, I was always like, well, I'm obviously moving to LA. Like, there was never a time in my head that I wasn't going to move here. Okay. And I just kind of had that feeling. I was like, I think this is the time. Like, I think I should go, because LA was finally opening up back again. Like, they were finally, like, doors were open. Like, you could go out and do things. And I didn't want to move here until that was, like, official. And it was still like, you still had to wear masks everywhere. And, like, obviously, I didn't have a problem with it. It was just more like, I didn't want to move out there until it got better. So then I actually like started working at Orange Theory as like a part-time associate, because I just needed
Orange what?
Orange Theory. It was like, it's like a workout facility. And that was like my first like job out here. And then my friend, who also went to Berkeley, ended up landing a really great job in like selling experiences, like concert experiences and like sports events experiences. And he found that job through his like, I think his dad's partner, and like partner in business. And once he got that job, I kind of had like a freak out. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? So then I applied to a bunch of random jobs in LA and finally got a position as an account coordinator for a creative advertising agency that was based in Culver City. So I started working there in December, which was like 2.5 months after I first moved to LA. And I got that job through LinkedIn. So I applied through LinkedIn. I Zoomed with like 3 people from the company, and they were like, you've got a great vibe, so we want to hire you. So after that, I worked there for around like 10 months. And around the 10th month mark, I kind of realized, as much as I was learning, I wasn't really engaged as much as I was when I had first gotten there. And I guess I didn't see myself moving up. So I didn't see myself as what my boss was doing, or I didn't see myself as what the director of the company was doing.
Was it just that the product didn't excite you, or?
Well, so at the advertising like agency, it wasn't necessarily the product. It was like, it's hard because, you know, when you're bringing in new business, you can't always choose who you work with in advertising. It's really just where you can get a project, or where you can get a new, like a new reoccurring, like monthly business to like come along to your agency and like hire you. So the companies that we were working with, like, I guess I just knew. I think it's definitely the Gen Z mentality of thinking about like, oh, well, like, I'm just not excited about this. And I just thought, oh, well, maybe I should look elsewhere and like just kind of try something new, which was a risk. But I applied to a bunch of different places. And honestly, the application process was, it's just gruesome, like, especially when you're like, oh, okay, I think I want to go into sales. Oh, actually, maybe I should go into like marketing on the side. Maybe I should just be a personal assistant because I'm really good at that. So there were just a bunch of positions I was applying for that I almost got it. And then like I never got it. So then I just stopped looking. I was like, okay, you know what, let's just stick this out. And through LinkedIn, like probably in July of 2021, I received a message from the partner of the company that I work at now.
2022.
Yes, sorry. Yes, 2022. And I received a message on LinkedIn that was like, hi, we're looking for a marketing coordinator for a celebrity-founded startup. And I knew the name, like, of the founder now who, the partner of the company. He had messaged me on LinkedIn, and when I saw it, I like freaked out in my head. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, I don't actually know who is founding this business, but regardless, I know him. So I interviewed twice and I completed a project for them. And then I was hired to be part of the team of five, a month before the launch. And that's where I am now.
All right. Very cool. So we'll move on to the third part of the interview of three. And let me preface the next question by saying there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
So these days, what, if anything, is your relationship with music?
No, that's a great question. I honestly, it hasn't really left like my professional life totally, completely, because of how intertwined like editing videos, like aligning with social channel trends, like knowing where music can be used to our advantage, like comes into play pretty much every day. And I think you can't teach taste and you can't teach instinct, which are two qualities I think music has aided in becoming like second nature to me. So I think in general, like on TikTok, like, I mean, TikTok is one of, if not the biggest influences on the music business. And you see how literally one video can take off and your song immediately becomes number one. And it's just kind of knowing how to use which sounds to grow and like have like type like consistent viral moments. Like there's a lot of sounds on TikTok that I can't use because it's not commercialized, and the app like literally doesn't let business accounts use them because it's copyrighted. Which, you know, you just kind of find different ways to kind of get around that or just, you know, not choosing those and choosing the ones that are copyrighted. But I think it comes into play so much. Like, and I mean, I literally am the world's biggest, like, just singer in general. Like, I can literally be talking in a meeting and I will randomly start singing. Like, it's always gonna be within me and it's my lifeline. But I think, like, I never initially looked for jobs in the music industry, but I always knew and still know that at some point music will call me back again in the performing arts world. I think I just am really happy with the job I have now, and I love who I work with. I love who I work for. I love how much I'm learning, and I think, you know, intertwining music is what you make of it, and you can, and I definitely have. And yeah, I mean, I don't think any company runs without music, honestly. Like,
and just to be clear, I just want to make sure the question fully understood. You're talking about how you relate to music in your job. Is there any relationship outside of your job?
I definitely still write music and like record demos. And I've actually, this isn't really music, but I've been thinking about voiceover acting for forever. But in general, I always like stay close to it. And I am still in piano lessons. I'm still in voice lessons. Like, I don't... Okay. Yeah, I don't not prioritize it in my time that I'm not working, but it's just something that like obviously I went to school for it, so it's just always been so important to me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So you did allude to one answer to this question I'm about to ask in terms of taste, but let's say again, there are people who are working marketing. Most of them do not have a music degree.
Right.
So Let's assume you would have gotten a bachelor's degree somewhere, but compared to another bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current role?
That's a great question. I think on the foundation of the role that I'm working now, being on set is a really huge thing, and it's the same etiquette as theater etiquette. It's the same etiquette as, you know, preparing for like an onstage set. Like, there's just things that you either know or you don't. And it's also comes into play with meeting people and connections, because the people that I've met at Berkeley have been and still are the closest people to me. I love everyone I met at Berkeley. I mean, genuinely, actually, I literally had a lunch with my two other like fellow RAs during like my time at Berkeley. And I think, you know, the importance of relationships is a forever thing. And, you know, you never know like where you're going to see someone again. And I think Berkeley just does a really good job at creating like that close-knit community where I feel like if I saw anyone from Berkeley, I'm always going to embrace them. And I took a class that like has always stuck with me. It was taught by George, I can't think of his last name. Yes. Who talked a lot about a few books that always like stick in my mind, like Good to Great. And he talked a lot about like purpose over product, and that lesson is I try and implement like that mentality into everything I do. But in general, like working for a company that does sell products, like it's all about the storytelling, and it's all about like getting your purpose like in front of the right people who are going to spread that message. And I think that class like definitely helped me in knowing like right and wrong in terms of decision making for like marketing channels and just instinct in general.
Gotcha. Now, that's great. So let's turn that question around now, because Berkeley gives that one degree, the bachelor's in music. You went there knowing that, and you've done very well for yourself. But all that said, when you think back to your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
That's a tough question. I think, you know, I obviously chose marketing over getting a degree in performance. And I think that was an instinctual decision to learn about like music law and copyright and, you know, basically how to not get screwed. But I, in general, like if there was anything that I felt like it didn't teach me, you know, I don't know. That's a tough question, because in a lot of ways you can choose exactly what you learn at Berkeley. And you know, it'd be nice for there to be like a requirement for, well, no, I guess they already do that with the one-on-ones with like your principal instrument, but I guess, maybe more about like I think it would have been nice to have a requirement to learn about songwriting. There wasn't a requirement, but I think in general, like that's just, it's like a skill that, I mean, you know, it gets intertwined with like composing, obviously, and like you learn about how jazz songs are written and how like classical music was made. But I think like pop songwriting or just, you know, indie songwriting, like I think any songwriting class would have been nice to have like required instead of like optional. But you know, otherwise there are a lot of things that you can just tailor to exactly what you want to learn. And you can like I took a lot of psychology classes that I always think about and always like reference. And those were probably my favorite non-music classes that I took.
I gotcha. Any professors you want to give a shout out to?
I should have looked this up before. I like forget names because I'm so bad at names.
I
but
can drop a few names. Let's see: Alicia Bauer, Erica Knowles, Pooja Agarwal.
I think it's Erica. Oh, Pooja! Oh my God! Wait, I loved Pooja. I loved Erica. Both of them like loved dearly. Alicia was amazing too. I think I had a very long class with her that was like 2 hours. I don't remember. Actually, no, I think it was three. Yeah, it was 6 to 9 p.m.
Yeah, I was going to say two's not particularly long for Berkeley, but three is.
Yeah. So, yeah, though, like, I loved all three of them. I had all three, and I loved adolescent psychology, human psychology, and, like, human sexuality, too. It was amazing.
That's very cool. All right, so next question I have for you is, you know, you weren't necessarily doing this exact thing, but you had a little question of, do you do personal assistant or, you know, more in the sales marketing role? But you pretty quickly got onto this track you're on, which then led to you to this fantastic job you're in.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone has found that path right away.
And right.
And others who are, you know, still at Berkeley, staring at the big scary world and not sure what's going to happen next.
Right.
So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
I think my biggest, like, lesson that I've learned is how important it is to follow up with people. And I remember going on this trip for the Music Business Club to New York, and we visited a bunch of companies' offices, and we got contacts for those offices. And I, when I was first looking for jobs, like when I came out to California, I was like, oh my God, I totally lost every contact that I had written down, and I had never like followed up or sent an email to any of the people that I met. And I remember thinking, like, I'm never making that mistake again. I think it could be like literally a matter of like a substitute teacher, or I mean, really any teacher at Berkeley who you create a connection with is bound to help you, like, kind of figure out what you're looking to do, or if they know someone who's hiring. But I think in general, like, personal relationships are really going to take you far. And another big thing is LinkedIn, honestly. Like, I obviously found both of my jobs on LinkedIn, and I think it's a resource that I don't know if like every music person is like totally on that, but they should be. And you should try and get past 500 connections if you can, is, you know, literally just reaching out to Berkeley alum, and just in general, putting any experience that you have, like, doesn't matter how small it is. I think having a LinkedIn profile is huge. If I hadn't had a LinkedIn profile, I wouldn't be in the job that I'm in now, which like haunts me. I'm like, oh my God, I just can't even imagine if like I hadn't had that. So I think making sure, you know, we live in a world where connections like are huge, and there's a platform built for connections. So I think using that to the best of your ability. And also, you know, it's okay to work like a couple part-time jobs while you figure it out, because that's exactly what I was doing. While I was at Orange Theory, I was also babysitting. I was dog sitting. When I was in Berkeley, I basically had like five jobs. Like, I was like a photo, I was like a student photographer. I was a photographer, like, just on the side. I worked like a part-time sales job. I was an RA. Like, there's just always like something that you can probably find. And although it might feel small, you never know what the day can bring you and who can walk into the place that you work at. Like, genuinely, I have met the greatest people working those jobs that I felt like were a waste of time. Like, they weren't. They really weren't. They taught me skills that not everyone knows or understands, but I think, like, every experience has led me to where I am now.
That's terrific. And to zoom in a little bit, I think you mentioned something like my 240th interview. No one's listening to all 240. But I'll have you there either under marketing in-house, maybe social media marketing. So anyone who's made it this far is perhaps really considering that as a career. Do you have any specific advice for them?
For marketing specifically?
Yeah, people who are thinking about maybe I'll do marketing as a career. They're not yet doing it.
You know, I think there's a lot of lectures that I listen to online that have helped me kind of like think about my job, but also like I think marketing, there are, you know, as kind of simple as it sounds, there are so many facets to marketing. Like, you can get into design, you can get into like thinking about a launch of a product, you can get into like video editing. Like, there's so many different parts of marketing that matter. And I think starting your own, like, because when you think about yourself, like, and you think about the platforms that you're on, like, you are marketing yourself at all times. And as like crazy and like unfortunate as it is, like, that is, it's true. It's, you know, everything that you do is marketing yourself. So when you think about it like that, and like think about how important it is just to like keep up with people, like, marketing is everywhere. So I think, like, if you're interested in it, you should definitely, like, marketing coordinator jobs are everywhere in LA, and it might feel like assistant work, but to me, it's like, as long as you're learning and as long as like the people around you are encouraging you, like, you're in the right place. So yeah, I don't know. I think in general, like, just trying a bunch of stuff is so normal. Like, I mean, even in the job I work now, I try new things every day. So I never want to think that I have learned everything I can learn. Like, that's just impossible. So yeah.
All right. That's great. And I just have one last question for you, Peyton, which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
What a good, oh, actually, I have like a really fun interview question that I always ask at the end of my interviews. So I'll ask you, but I think that this is a great interview question to ask, like, if you are in that interview process. What is a mistake that you're happy that you made?
Oh, that's an interesting one. Okay, I can say that, which is, I was convinced for a while that my best career was going to be to teach high school math. And mm-hmm. I spent 2 years getting a master's in education. And then I lasted one semester in high school. It was horrible. I felt like a prison guard without the rifle. And they wouldn't give me a rifle either, so I left. And so, like, and then I got some job, my first job after that. It was like the absolute bottom rung of the educational ladder, teaching like test prep when most people there were like in the middle of doing undergrad, and I had a master's degree. And the master's degree felt like it would just been this waste, like it was for nothing. And
yeah.
I regretted that. And then about 5 years later, I had worked with the daughters of a highly regarded Berkeley professor, and Berkeley's part-time math person quit with 2 weeks before the semester starting. And oh. Berkeley went, oh my God, holy crap, does anyone know anyone who teaches math? And this guy's like, oh yeah, that my daughter's too. So I got this email out of blue, like, hey, do you want to work at Berkeley? And then my interview was, you know, it's like, oh, all this sounds good. Oh, you have a graduate degree, right? And I'm like, yes, I do. I have a, okay, fine. And it didn't even care what it was, but like, it felt like such a waste. And then that moment came, and that got me into Berkeley and put me on the path I'm on now.
That's amazing. That's exactly like what the question is about, is just thinking that something is like a huge mistake and it actually ends up being like, it's a huge token and like the stepping stone of life.
Could I kick the question back to you? Is there something you felt was a mistake at the time?
I thought about this question so many times, and I'm like, how can I even answer? But in my head, I think I thought that it was a mistake to not put myself in that performing degree, path on, while I was at Berkeley. But I know now that the classes I took, the things I learned, honestly, George Howard has had such a impact on the way I think and the way I look at marketing and just look at businesses in general. I think I was supposed to do that. And when I graduated, I was like, wow, should I have done performing? Like, was that a mistake? Like, I literally went to Berklee College of Music and studied law. Like, I felt at the time that it was a mistake, but I know now that I wouldn't be at all in the position that I'm in now had I not taken those classes and learned things. And even joining the music business club was huge too. Like, I think just getting myself out there, like, obviously I regret not performing enough. Like, I do think I should have performed more, but I know that the degree that I went for and graduated with was worth it.
Great. Great answer. Well, thank you, Peyton. Thank you for suggesting that question. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Me as well. Thank you so much for inviting me to do this. This was amazing.
Great. Thanks for making the time, and look for a message in the near future.
Okay. Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.